We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with Ben Jedlicka from the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism, talking critters, and critters that pop up typically here in the month of June. And, you know, we were talking earlier about snakes, and, you know, I came across a snake at the Hy-Vee parking lot last week. Just saw it out and about. It was a rather big snake. I'm not sure exactly what kind it was, but, you know, it doesn't matter to me. When I see a snake, I don't really think twice about it. I'm not really interested in being near the snake. But a lot of folks will always tell me afterward, hey, that's one of those good snakes. You want to make sure you keep that one alive. How do you decipher, Ben?
Well, snakes get moved around. Snakes are a little bit like mushrooms. Most of them are harmless. But then there are those, and we have them here, that are venomous snakes. And I wouldn't ask someone to try to, I'm not a snake guy, but there's people, well, some of the greatest experts are right here in Manhattan. But most snakes are harmless. The size, I suppose, the bigger they are, for the most part, probably the less harmless they are, at least around here. There's black snakes that look scary and they're big, but they're not venomous. There we go.
Ben, yeah. I heard that one way to tell a venomous snake from a non-venomous one was the slant of their eyes.
Well. Yeah, you want to get that close, or you want to take it out first and then check on that.
My eyes aren't that good. I don't, you know, I'm going to keep my distance.
there is a difference in the head shape, and that's one indication. The venomous snakes that we have around here is most popular, or most the one most common would be a copperhead, and copperheads are, they're scared of you, Dave. They're gonna take off.
Stand in a
rocky areas, and south of Manhattan is notorious for copperheads, and wooded areas that have copperheads. And I've heard that the pets that are bitten by a copperhead, they suffer. You know, a dog bit by a copperhead does suffer and needs veterinary attention. And I haven't heard about people being bit by a copperhead around here, but I'm sure it's not pleasant at all.
No, I imagine not, and I don't want to be the first to have that happen to me here. We do have a caller, Ben, has a question or a comment. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
I'm so glad you brought up the copperheads. Found one in the yard. The worst mistake I ever made is that 4-foot one that's in the freezer there at Tuttle Creek office with the biologist. Of course, I killed it. And we had an explosion of mice. It is one of the worst mistakes I ever made. The roundworm, my daughter got him in her eye. She was doing handstands and gymnastics on the lawn at Disney Hotel. We had to take her to Gainesville Children's Hospital. None of the local eye doctors would handle it. It was so bad. And they had to fly in insecticide from, or whatever they use, from Las Vegas and London, England to treat it. And luckily, her eye survived. But there are so many things. I imagine with this flu, 19, that they're all going to be hysterical about the bats. But we had a bat house over here on Points for years, and there were no mosquitoes. There were no bugs around the lights at night. Now, we kept a couple of fish nets in the house to catch them and put them back out. But, you know, we'd find them in the doorbell inside and housing. But we didn't have any problem with them. We just catch them with a fish net and dump them back outside. But thank you so much for widening our horizons.
I'm so glad that you called in. What I found was that to date, no treatments are known to be completely effective against this raccoon roundworm. So we know about other diseases, but so far no treatment has been found to be effective. And then that relates to the bats. get this. There's concern about humans transferring COVID-19 to bats. Well, that is a hazard. If humans transfer this virus to bats, will we have another way for the virus to spread? I'm so glad that you brought up, and I really do want to scare people into not adopting young raccoons. It is a severe hazard, and you have personal knowledge about that. I really appreciate you calling.
Yeah, thank you for the call, for sure. Yeah, and raccoons are, a lot of folks think they're cute creatures. You know, they appear warm and fuzzy, but that's just one of those that is not quite what it seems.
Again, they do fine with this roundworm. They seem healthy. Now, there's indications on other diseases after they progress, but this roundworm doesn't slow a raccoon down at all.
Hmm. Well, as far as and this is a bad time for ticks as well. Yeah, and I know you mentioned that a little bit earlier. A lot of animals carry ticks here, and what kind of problems can that pose to us if we happen to encounter?
But I'm sure everyone's heard about it. And Rocky Mountain spotted fever. I haven't heard much about that one in quite a while. But the Lyme disease has spread from the East Coast, kind of like corona, from the East Coast to the West Coast, and now there's many states in the Midwest that have it. So Lyme disease is, well, you have to look that one up. But I do know it's named after a town in Connecticut.
Really? So it's not named after the fruit? Which I knew that anyway.
I think it's not spelled that way either. No. Other hazards is we haven't gotten into the bites and the scratches. And so I just want people to be scared in some ways of wildlife. And then I'm in the business of promoting interaction, human interaction with wildlife too. So, I think it's best you go in the creek and find crawdads.
Crawdads, yeah. I've not done that. That sounds like a lot of fun, though. I have been fishing a few times, and I did see, I think at Rocky Ford, it looks like there might be an alligator or a crocodile. I can't tell. Do we have any of those? Many of those up there, Tuttle Creek?
Well, I think you're talking about a gar.
A gar. Okay, maybe.
A gar, and we, if a gar was a trophy fish, we would be, they would come from miles to come to Tuttle Creek Reservoir to get gar. There's even a road named Gar Diner, or Gardner, if you prefer, right near Randolph. And there are a lot of gar in Tuttle Creek.
Interesting, okay.
But they kind of, They remind you of an alligator. In fact, I think one of them is called Alligator Gar.
Wow. That might be what I saw. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I did not know that.
They'll be spawning soon, and they'll get in the warm areas, kind of like carp do, and there can be hundreds of them snapping their snouts up on the surface of the water. It's something to see.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Ben, we're out of time here. How can people get a hold of you here if they have any questions?
Well, I got a phone number, but look me up in the hunting or the fishing regulations under Riley County Game Warden. And by the way, Deb Watkins is coming on later. There is no group that helps take care of these wildlife calls more than the T. Russell Animal Shelter. T. Russell Wright Animal Shelter. The animal control people there help me with these kind of calls, and I'm more than willing to help them. They've got a lot of knowledge about diseases that are transferred from wildlife to domestic, and I look forward to working with them in the future. They're great.
Awesome. Well, Ben, we sure appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Great. Thank you, Brandon.
All right. Again, Ben Jedlicka here from the Kansas Department of Wildlife, Parks, and Tourism joining us on In Focus. Stay tuned. We'll talk Manhattan Parks and Rec coming up next.